And because they signed that paper and might have gone to war, freedom for them were, they felt like they had it. But I want to talk to you today about another type of freedom. And that is that the war is not over yet. We are still in this war. There have been casualties, and there will be some other casualties. Somebody will lose their lives because of they are trying to obtain this freedom. Some country and some places people can't meet like we are meeting here today. Yes. We can assemble ourselves here today because the Constitution of the United States of America said we can assemble ourselves. Uh-huh. And no man has the right to come and drag us out. But I want to talk to you today, as I said earlier, about another freedom. What makes us free? Mm-hmm. Point number one. The scripture makes us free. John chapter 8, we read verse 32. That scripture makes us free. Because the Declaration of Independence could not free me from what I need to be freed from. That's because man is enslaved by sin and all of its consequences. And we are in bondage to sin because we cannot keep from sinning. I don't care how holy and how righteous you think you are. Yes. No, and I'm not putting crutches under your arm telling you it's all right for you to sin. But I'm telling you, you can't help, you can't keep from sinning. But you don't have to suffer the consequences. The consequences of sin is that we are guilty, we are ashamed, we are hurt, and we are in pain, and we worry, and we suffer, and then death eventually takes over. And after death comes the judgment. Man need to be freed from sin, need to be set loose and delivered from sin's enslavement. Man can be freed, but his freedom from sin is conditional. One of the first conditions of being freed is you got to have a belief. You got to believe in this Jesus the Christ. Many people believe in Christ. As the gospel was proclaimed, they listened. They did not slumber, nor did they sleep, nor allow their minds to wander. They heard and they believed on Christ. After you hear this word, you got to believe this word. You have to allow the seeds to be planted in your heart, and you have to allow them to grow, or you just got to believe. And after you believe, you got to act on your belief. Fail not to assemble yourself. You got to come. And not because the preacher said you got to come, there's something on the inside that won't allow me to stay home. That won't allow me to know that I rather than going to church, I need to go fishing. Because right along and now, as much rain as we've been getting here if you fish the rivers and the backwaters. Brother Allen, you can catch some fish in the backwater. Don't have to fish in the mainstream, but I know that right now, if you get there early in the morning. But it's something about fishing here. I get a chance to fish every now and then, and when you hook the worm, you don't want to hook him wrong. There's a right way and a wrong way. You when you're fishing for brim, you need to thread it. Need to stick it in it and run it all the way down the bait. And then if you want to leave some of it hanging off, you can. But see, you don't do it in and every kind of way. It depends on the season when it is. And see, knowing all this and now is a good time. I love God. I love God, and I love to have that reel and see it bend and me hold it and it get to trembling. But I got another kind of bait now. I got another kind of bait, and this is my bait. I hook it. And some of you, it falls right in your mouth. I had a chance to go the other day, and I just believe, I know that I dropped it right in what we call, the fishermen call a bed. I dropped it right in that bed, and before that cork could touch the water, it just kept going. And the fish had it and gone. That's the way some of y'all with this word. Before I cast it out there and it land, when you see it coming, you jump up and you grab it. How do you know that, Baggy? I watch the way that you live. And some of you, I can drop it right in the bed. Get down there, if I could get in the water, open your mouth. Put it in there, and you still wouldn't bite down. See, in order to eat this word, you got to be hungry. I know that might not sound right, but when you're hungry, anything that come around you that looks like it's right, you bite it. I'm going to get back to my message, y'all, but I got to tell y'all this because this way, some of you are like what we call, in the country, we call them goggle eyes. In the city, they might call them a smallmouth bass. The goggle eye is a wide fish, and he's a fighter. You drop it down there where he lives, he'll just sit there and look at it. He'll just sit there and look at it. And since I know that's where he live, I'll take and just move it just a little bit. And when it moves, I say, he said, uh-uh, you're not leaving here now. And he grabs, yo! And when he grab it, he got it. He ain't going to turn it loose. Because I have tempted him with that bait. And he just got hold of it because it was so tempting. That's the way most of us are when we first come to Christ. We are eager to do whatever and whenever anybody calls. If they open the church door, I'm going to be there. You need to be like that after 55 years of serving God. Be just as eager because the word that saved you then will save you now. So but you're that way because you believe what you're saying. This scripture will save you. Many of them believe that and they heard it. Their heart was stirred. When your heart is stirred, then you believe this word because it has gone past your brain. It's gone down to your heart. When this word gets in your heart, you have received it. There is a need and an emptiness. And I said this word earlier. There's a hunger in you that seems like nothing else can fill. But when you get this word of God down on the inside, it seems to supply everything that you need. Can't nobody satisfy you like God can. Going through a whole lot of stuff right now. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't seem like I'm in anything. Because I will lean and depend on Christ. He is my answer. I have no need because everything I need, God got it. I read somewhere this week that there's not a need that God had. One time I thought God might need for me to preach this word. God doesn't have a need. I have a need. I just think that God have this need. I have this need because God have placed his word down on the inside of me. And unless I'm trying to teach this word, unless I'm living the way God would have me to live, I feel as if I have done nothing because nothing else seemed to matter because this word have gotten down on the inside of me and I can't keep it there. Because if you share it, then you give it away, and then God will put something else there. You can't be God-given. All you got to do is let this spirit of the word get in you. The scripture will make you free. And when the scripture make you free, you free. Doesn't matter what people do or say. They can sit and look at you like you're crazy. It doesn't matter because you're not preaching for them. You're preaching because of your love for God. Doesn't matter. It's going to get home after a while when the scripture get down on the inside. You just got to. This scripture will make you free. Did y'all hear me when I read that? It will make. I didn't make that up. I don't have sense enough to make something up like that. But it said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus said somewhere, I am the truth. Then say Abraham or nobody else, I am the truth. And in my Bible, that's in red, I think. That means he said it. So if he's the truth, this word will make me free. In the beginning, in the emphasis stage of faith, doesn't seem to take a whole lot for you. But the longer you stay in this word, the more of it takes. You can satisfy a little baby with just a little bit. But the older he or she gets, the more you got to feed them. That's the way it is with this word of God. That's why sometimes when you come to church and the preacher preach too long, you see some of them, they get up and leave. That's all they can stand. But just let them keep coming. When you give the benediction, they'll be asking you to say, is that all? I mean, they be wanting some more because they have grown to the place where they can digest this word. You have to live to get to that place of serving God where you just don't seem to get enough of the word of God. You know that there's more of it that he has to give you. But the word, the scripture will make you free. You're just like a little lamb. A newborn baby, whatever you put in front of them in the form of food, they will eat. Go to church, then turn around and go to church, then turn around and go to church, and then when you get home, you turn on TV in, you go to sleep with it on. You are absorbing this word of God. You just can't get enough of this word because the scripture will make you free. Well, then there's the experience of salvation. The experience of salvation is a continuation, a continuous of things. It does not stop. Once you get saved, salvation continues on and on and on. It does not stop. It is a process that you will always be going through. Yes, you're saved and you have salvation, but you keep going through it. You keep living it because you have to keep living it because if you don't keep living it, you missed it. You cannot be a Christian today and a sinner today. You were a sinner when you thought you were a Christian. Because once you are a Christian, you cannot go back to sinning. Now, I'm not saying you don't sin. I'm not putting them crutches on the arm. You will sin. But who's the first person to know that you sin? You are. You know. You know. When you sin, you know. And if you are a true believer, you hur up. You be like King David. You hur up and repent of your sin, because you know that you've done wrong, and you know that this God that you serve, sin cannot live in his presence. Well, the idea is that salvation dwells within you. A person, you live in your house. You dwell in your house. The salvation of Christ that he puts in you dwells in you. You can't, that's why I said you can't be one today and not one tomorrow. The word of the Lord is the believer's dwelling place. He continues to abide in God's word. He will continue both by studying and doing the word of God. You have to study this word, and you have to do what it says for you to do. A person who does not really believe will not continue in the Lord's word. Only when it's convenient, when I need to do it, when my wife or my husband been after me about going and studying, that's when I'll do it. No, when they don't do it. Whenever you get the chance, that's when you do it. Because this word is down on the inside of you. Let me say this to you, to somebody that need to hear this. And I don't know who it is. If I did, I wouldn't say it up in front of everybody. I'd say it to you. But there's some people that are saved and don't want everybody to know that they're saved. They got certain people that they don't want to know. It's all right if the people at church know that I'm saved, but other people I don't want to know. God will get you. He'll get you'll get in a position where everybody will have to know. Because something will happen that you will have to take a stand. You will have to take a stand and for Christ, because if you did not, and sometimes I don't know about nobody else, but this is the way it happened to me, you wouldn't even realize that you're going to do it. Young man came in my office one day when I had a real job, and I was sitting in there that morning and I was reading my Bible, and he said, "What you doing, Mr. Baggett?" I said, "I'm reading my Bible." He said, "You go to church?" I said, "Yeah." "Are you a Christian?" I said, "I hope I am." I said, "I'm trying." And when he left out, I turned my chair to the door, back of it, and I turned my face to the wall, and I asked God, I said, "Will you forgive me?" I said, "Because this young man, I see him every day, and he did not know that I was a Christian." I said, "I've been acting some kind of way. I've been acting in front of him. I didn't exemplify you." I said, "And I'm sorry. I apologize." And I said, "Whatever I need to do." And the last time I saw that young man to talk to him, he knew I was a believer. Because somewhere, some kind of way, I had changed. I don't know how, but I just know this happened. That's the way God will get you. When you are his child and everybody don't know it. You don't have to wear a sign, but they ought to know it. Okay, I'm getting back. The believer wants everybody to know. The person that's a real believer is that he does and he continues and he abides and dwells in the Lord's word. You got to stay in this word. You cannot get out of it. The proof of that and the evidence is the person has made, some people have made false professions. They know how to do churchy things. They know when to clap, when to shout, when to say amen. But when they leave that setting, they don't know how to act. Brothers and sisters, you got to be for Christ no matter where you are, what you're doing, anything that you're doing. If you're a Christian, you need to be for God. You need to, there ought to be some things that you're not going to do, you're not going to be associated with, and you're going to let everybody know it. Because you are a believer. The scripture will let you know that whether you are a believer or not. The scripture will set you free. The truth is not something to simply be known. It is something to be done. You must do this if the truth is going to be in you. It is the knowledge and the experience of the true reality as opposed to false reality. It is truth. It is the truth in the inward parts of man that will not allow the believer to lie or to be a false witness. The inner part in your heart, that part of it won't let you be it. And in the other life, it's really the direct opposite. It won't let you tell the truth. You the old saying is you stand on when you can stand on the ground and tell the truth, you'd rather tell a lie. No, but when the truth is in you, you have to let it out. The believer, even with the truth, must abstain from anything that looks like even the very appearance of evil. Yes, because the word is on the inside of you and the scripture will make you free. It will change your life and it will break all the bondage and the chains off of you when you allow the scripture to be into your life. You have to let the scripture come into your life. And when you do that, you will be working for God and he will have something else for you to do. You won't get finished in 1 or 2 days. In your lifetime, you will do what's in your scope to do. The truth sets men's free from the bondage of sin. The truth set men free from the bondage of death. The truth sets men free from the bondage of judgment and hell. The truth sets men free to be saved unto the uttermost. Can't anything save you like the truth? The truth will set you free. So the scripture will make you free. That's from John chapter 8, verse 32. Point number three. Point number two. Number two. The Savior makes us free. John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The Son shall make you free. A slave was not a permanent member of a family, but the Son is. The slave have no rights, no claim or privilege within the family. He is a slave and can be rejected and cast out of the house at any time. The son is always the son. No matter how bad he is, he's still the son. It is he that has all the rights and privileges to the house. However, there is a way for the slave to become a member of the house. The son can set him free. And ask the father to adopt him into the family and make the slave free. Then it says in the word that if the son set him free, he is free indeed. Christ is the one, the Son, that can set us free. All Gentiles were adopted into the family of God. Christ set them free. You remember Nicodemus, don't you? Came to Jesus by night. Learner, teacher, ruler of men. Came to Jesus by night. Theologians have suspected that he came at night because he didn't want his buddies to know what he was doing. And at one time I laughed at Nicodemus, but then I stopped laughing at Nicodemus because in Nicodemus I saw myself. He went to Christ at night because he felt like there was something that Christ had that he needed. And at the time, he was not strong enough to let everybody know where he stood. Have you ever been there? When you were not strong enough to let people know, for Christ I live and for Christ I die. Jesus Christ set Nicodemus free because he told him that you must be born again. Learn a teacher, a rule, an instructor of men. How can I be born again when I am old? Can I go back into my mother's womb? Jesus has a way of setting you free because he can set you free because he is the Son of God. He set Nicodemus free from religious bondage. We have that today. We are in bondage because of our religion. And I stop by to tell you that you can have all the religion you want to, but if you don't have Jesus, you still are missing something. Then there was another man by the name of Zacchaeus who Jesus set free. Zacchaeus was a rich and wealthy man, a short man of stature, but he heard that Jesus was coming by one day. He said, I must see this man called Jesus. Running down the street, a religious and an older, elder man running down the streets and climbed up a tree to wait on Jesus to come by. And don't you think bad about Zacchaeus climbing up a tree, because you have climbed up that tree too, because you went somewhere and you knew that the gospel was going to be there, but you just didn't want everybody to know that you were there, so you disguised yourself. You dressed in a way that you normally wouldn't dress. Went a place you normally wouldn't go, but you went. And sometimes the way that you wouldn't dress is the way that you dress now. Every day when you get ready to come to church, you get in your very best and you come. Zacchaeus went there and climbed up that tree, and Jesus, so he could get, he just wanted to get a glimpse. Just a glimpse of him. He wanted to see Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to see him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he'll see you when you don't want him to see you. Jesus passed by, and I visualized in my mind he was about 4 or 5 feet up higher than Jesus would have been. And Jesus, when he got under him, stood and just looked up. And from the way I read the Bible, they hadn't met before. But Jesus called him by his name. And can I just stop by to tell you, he knows right where you are. He know what your name is. He know your address. Do you realize that when Jesus called him down and just told him to go to his house that he was coming, the Bible doesn't say Jesus followed him, doesn't say he gave Jesus direction, but he knows right where you are. And I see that not in a physical sense, I see that in a spiritual sense. Jesus knows right where you are in your spiritual walk with him. He knows where to find you. Whether you're up a sycamore tree or you are at your house, he can find you. So therefore, you need to understand that the Savior can set you free. He set Zacchaeus free from the love of money. If I have taken anything from anybody, I give it back to them fourfold. Jesus can save you, see, from whatever. And all of us, if you don't have now, you had something that was keeping you from really surrendering to Jesus the Christ, to allowing him to save you. And then there was, and I'm going to try to get out your way, the woman at the well. He set her free from immorality. This woman met him at the well, coming in the middle of the day to get water, coming when people normally don't come, when everybody else is at work, coming to get water. They usually got water early in the morning or late in the evening. She comes in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't try to slip and slide, because Jesus knows right where you are and when you need where you need to be at that time. He caught this woman at the well coming to get water. Asked her for a drink. She knew he was a Jew. You don't have anything to do with me. Why ask you for me for a drink? Give me a drink. If you knew this water that I have, you drink and never be thirst again. There's something about the water that Jesus gives. It's called the living water. Say you have wells springing up on the inside of you. Living water is water that's moving. It's not stagnant water. See, that's why believers can't get in one place and stay spiritually. Because you got to keep moving. Because there's something down on the inside that won't let you stay still. You might say, well, Baggett, I'm at the same church I've been at for the last 50 years. That's all right. That's a physical status. But he's talking about your spiritual status. You don't need to stay at the same place because Jesus is living. Anything that's a lie doesn't stay at the same place all the time. You might not see me growing because my groin may be underneath. My roots may be going down deep into the soil of the land. See, that's where some of us don't want to grow. We want everybody to see our growth. But they need to see your growth, that your growth need to happen where nobody can see it. Nobody knows it's there but you and God. I tell you what you do sometime. There's a grass called Bermuda grass. Try to pull it up. You can't pull it up because the roots of it goes every which way. And it goes deep into the soil. That's the way you need to be with this word of God. You don't need to get at the same place and just stay. Your roots need to go down in this word. So you will absorb the nutrients of the soil. This word of God will save you. But you have to allow the word to get down on the inside of you. Point number three, the Spirit will make us free. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 7. The new covenant brings liberty through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is identified as a spirit. The Spirit of God. When Christ set you free, you are free indeed. Can't nobody free you like God can. He can take you and have you locked up in what man called a prison. And you can yet be free. I remember reading Soul on Ice by Cleveland. I think it was. And he was in prison, but he said, but yet I'm free. I may be locked up, but yet I'm free. He was free in Christ. When he went in, he was not saved. But after he got locked up, he got saved. He allowed the word to get on the inside of him. See, sometime in order to be free, you got to get put in a prison to get free. Because if you don't get put in a prison, you will just keep ripping and running and doing the same thing that you were doing before. He said, in Christ, there is liberty, and liberty is freedom. I'm glad you asked. Freedom is not having any hindrance. Does it mean that I can do anything I want to do? No, it does not. There's some things when you're free that the Spirit of God will not allow you to do, because in that freedom, you will break what God has for you to do. You can't do anybody just like you want to do them, even though they may mistreat you. The Spirit of the Lord will set you at liberty. I keep saying this, and I believe it deep down on the inside of me. I'm freer now than I've ever been in my life because I've surrendered myself to God. I love all of you, but it really doesn't matter if you don't love me back. You don't have anything to do with me loving you. God is the only reason that I'm yet alive, and I have promised God that for him I live and for him I die, because where he brought me from. Well, you said, Baggett, are you ready to die? No, I'm not, but it's not in my hands. It's in God's hand. I have surrendered myself to him. I'm just like Paul. I'm a bond servant to him. For him I live and for him I die. Whatever he have for me to do, I'm going to try to do it because I believe I'm free. I'm free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free because there's no sin holding on to me. Have I been a sinner? Yes, I have. Will I sin today? I pray that I don't. But if I do, I have an advocate. I have a friend who have gone my bond. My bond's been paid. I don't have to pay anything. All I have to do is receive what he have given me. He's given me liberty. I know that I'm free because I had some stuff that was on me that nobody put on me, but I put on myself. But then I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad. But he took me just as I was, and he washed me. He washed me. He made me clean. I love him, y'all. I don't know much about him, but I love him. I know enough about him to know that if it was not for him, I wouldn't be where I am today. Because of him, I'm where I am today. And can I just tell you, he's not through with me yet. I'm glad you ask. I heard you when you ask, because I'm yet alive and I'm still on his payroll. I'm going to do just what he said. I'm free because the word has made me free. Don't have nothing to hold me back. I got everything I need because I got Jesus, and that's enough. Don't need nothing else because he made me whole. I love him, and I'm going to serve him until the day I die. Yeah, Lord, Jesus, thank you for stopping by. Thank you for allowing your Holy Spirit to come. Thank you for leaving him with us. Didn't leave me comfortless when nobody else would comfort me. I can get in this word and I can find comfort. I can find peace. I know it's there. I got my favorite verse right here. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, pray believing that you receive it and ye shall have them. I live by it. I thank God that I had to have my back operated on, because if I wouldn't have had to have my back operated on, I wouldn't have found it. But I found it. I needed something to hold on to, and I was holding on to the word. I know y'all get tired of hearing it, but when I went under, that was all I had in my mind. When I come out from under, that's all I had on my mind. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing you believe, desire when you pray, pray believing you receive them, and you shall have them. The word will save you. You got to get it down on the inside of you. And when you get this word on the inside of you, when you need it, it will come out. Psalm somewhere said, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's what God will do for you. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for blessing me. Listen to me. Listen to me. The Spirit of God will make you free. And the Spirit of God is Jesus the Christ. They are all one. And I know some real intellectual people can't see that, because they are too smart for their own good. God is not in a negative sense. He's simple. He's plain. He's right there to you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They all are one. All one. Just one. Just one. And that's what will make you free. But you got to believe. You got to believe. The psalm said you can climb any mountain, but you got to believe. If you do not believe, you're wasting your time. You got to believe this word, and you got to believe that the Savior and the Scripture will make you free, and the Spirit will set you at liberty. Liberty is being, you're having the right to do what you want to do. And I say this in not in a bragging sense, but in a sense in showing you what God can do. I was looking to see if brother, well, he's not here. Don't y'all tell him. I ask about him. And I know somebody you're going to tell him. I'm talking about Brother Earl. He remembers me when I was a coach. I coached him. And I said, I'm not saying this in a bragging sense. You talking about cussing? I'm not talking about cursing. I'm talking about cussing. I could do that. Our administrator had to get us in a car going to a place, and he chastised all the coaches, and he was looking at me. He said, I want all of this cussing stopped. And I said that to say this. I could do it now if I wanted to. But because of what's on the inside of me, I don't want to. I don't want to. I said this some time ago. I used to, when I walked through the house at night and stumped my little toe, I'd lay it down. If I walk through there and stump it now, I don't say anything. I just keep right on walking. I said that to say this, that you have to, I'm at liberty. I can do it if I want to. I don't want to. On my way home, I'm 21. I pass by Tom Thumb. I could stop and get me a six pack if I wanted to. Or I could stop and get me a Pepsi if I wanted to. I'm more likely to get the Pepsi than I am a six pack, but if I wanted to. That's the point I'm trying to get you. I'm at liberty because I'm in Christ. And the mistake that we've made with the world, the world thinks that Christ have us locked up and there's some things we can't do. Christ don't stop you from doing anything. You can do it if you want. You can do it if you want. But you have to have a desire not to do. If you want to, well, some of the children in here might have been made come today, you know. But you don't have to come. But you're gonna have to give an account. If you're a professing believer, you're gonna have to give an account. This word will save, and you have the liberty to do. You have to want to do this. As beautiful as it is outside today, you want it to come here today. You had to want to come. If you did, you wouldn't have shown up. That's what this word will do for you. You have the liberty, but this is what I want to do. So this is what I will do. This is what makes us free. And this is why so many other people in other countries see this country as the place to be. And we think sometimes it's so bad. Go live somewhere else for a couple of years. Out of the country. You know, and then see. God have set us at liberty. We are free because of this word. The Savior set us free. The Scripture set us free. And the Spirit set us free. Free from sin. Free from sin. He has done that for us. But it's no good if you will not receive it. If you will not receive this word of God, it will not suffice you. It won't do you no good. I'm through. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, this is your time. If you feel as if you have shackles of sin holding you back, this is your time. The shackles can fall off you as you so desire for them to fall off. And they can be on you, and you have gotten so used to them that you don't know that the shackles are there.
Will you come to Christ just as you are? Don't try to change anything. Just come. Let one thing change, that you submit your life to Christ and watch Him change you. You might not see the change as soon as it happens, but you will gradually begin to see the changes. Will you come? Will you come?
Lord, you kept your arms around me.
Don't let this day pass. He can make you free. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come?
And you,
God bless you.
And you did it and over again and again. You said
it ain't over.
You said, come on, my child.
It ain't over.
I still got work for you. So much more for you to do.
It ain't.
So I stepped out on faith, even though I've never seen your face. You see, prayer made the difference, along with your amazing grace. Oh Lord,
you did not leave me.
You did not leave me.
You kept me still.
I'm a living witness.
God will deliver on time.
'Cause I'm still here all these years.
All these years.
Sitting there thinking about
all these years.
Lord, you kept your arms around me. I'm so glad you found me. 'Cause I strayed away.
I strayed away sometimes.
Yes, it is. But you reached out and grabbed me. You
pulled me back in,
and you did it
over and over again and again.
It ain't over. It ain't over. I still got work for you, so much more for you to do. It ain't over.
Amen.